Get your exterior painting to-dos done easily with Dutch Boy Pristine Exterior Paint. With its rain rinse technology, rain naturally washes away dirt and grime. Plus, it resists cracking and peeling, making it perfect to withstand the harshest weather conditions. Save big money on Pristine Exterior Paint and start your painting project today. Plus, check out our weekly flyer on Menards.com for more great deals happening this week. Save big money
at Welcome to the Baseball Insiders. Happy All-Star Game. I'm Adam Weinrib, joined as always by fansided MLB insider Robert Murray. And we are both in different places, but also, no, we are not. We're in different hotel rooms, but we're both coming at you live from Atlanta ahead of the All-Star Game tonight. We were at the Home Run Derby last night. We were at Media Day yesterday. We're going to be at the game today, and we've picked up plenty of tidbits along the way. We'll be giving you what we know as well as responding to your questions. Thanks for joining us, everybody, on this show from, as I believe they say, the ATL. Robert Murray, how are you doing, dude?
I'm doing great. It is good to be here. We are in the same city. Adam and I actually were able to hang out yesterday not the first time, but it's been the first time in a very long time. So it's good to spend some time with Adam yesterday and also today as well. So that should be pretty cool. Learned a lot of cool stuff at the All-Star Game and at Media Day and just in general. So I'm anxious to dive into that. Should have plenty to talk about today. I would hope. I hope Adam Weinrib's his Wi-Fi holds up, because sources tell me it is not exactly the greatest at his hotel. So we'll see. But Adam, good to be here with you. How you doing?
Good to be here with you for as long as my Wi-Fi will allow me. Yeah, I feel like there was a lot of noise in here last night when I got back from the Derby. There's a Beyonce concert in Atlanta. I think everybody from the Beyonce concert is staying at this hotel. But I was like, man, a lot of noise is going on, a lot of sounds being made. And somehow a man podcasting tomorrow is going to be the loudest and most annoying of all of them. So hopefully no one calls any hotel security on your boy. We'll have to find out. Hopefully the Wi-Fi holds up. We appreciate everybody joining us today. I hope you enjoyed Eric Cole on the Draft Recap Prospect Show yesterday. We are going to be here trying to figure out our next show, but obviously we had to come to you from down in Atlanta for All-Star. So stay tuned on the remaining schedule. You can usually find us every Monday, Wednesday, and coming up some Fridays ahead of the trade deadline. 3:30 Eastern time on Monday, 1:00 Eastern time on Wednesday. Though we will not be live tomorrow, we are flying home. And if you are not a member, what's taking you so long? I see some Discord members in the comments already. You get priority responses in the chat, private Q&As with Robert at 3:00 Eastern on Thursdays. In that Discord, you can join either the All-Star or Rumor Mill tier. Plus, subscribe to the Moonshot, our weekly baseball email newsletter, where the fan-sided MLB team, including Robert Murray, break down all the biggest stories of the big leagues with humor, insight, behind-the-scenes info. Read all that and more on fansided.com/baseball-insiders, where there is plenty of content from the All-Star Game, from Media Day. Robert, my first Media Day yesterday, it was a zoo, but it was doable, right? Like, you could navigate through. We got what we needed. If you check the fan-sided YouTube channel, there's a lot going on. Someone's asking me to sing Hot to Go. I'm really not sure why, but maybe I will. That's a new one. I've got that on my repertoire. So yeah, maybe not. Maybe who knows? Maybe it's battery tonight. You'll see me at the Yard House afterwards. But yeah, Robert, Media Day went off without many hitches. We were sent to the upper deck to sit for some reason, so they could get the players in for about 4 minutes, and then we went back downstairs. But after that, we started picking up nuggets.
No, we definitely did. It was nice to go sit upstairs with John Heyman and Dave Ledden and a bunch of the other guys who I've become friends with over the years. And it was fun hearing some people's displeasures. But going into Media Day, I wanted to talk to as many of these guys as possible, and just get to know them and get to talk to them about whatever. But one thing that I really wanted to pick up on, and I know this was numero uno on the rundown, so I'll just dive into it right away if you're okay with that, Adam.
Absolutely.
It is Jacob Mizorowski, and he is absolutely the talk of the All-Star Game. And for reasons that are good, some people are also not very happy that he's here, saying that he's undeserving considering he's only made five appearances or five starts. I still think it's a great thing for the game, but one thing that caught my eye was a report that surfaced that he was having extension talks, or he had extension talks with the Brewers, and that an offer was made. I am here to tell you that is not actually the case. Like, there was something very brief that happened, but no offer was ever made. So it makes no sense for the Brewers, or it makes no sense for Mizorowski to do an extension now. At this point, we got to put him firmly in the race to win National League Rookie of the Year. If he's probably the like definitive favorite at this point, unless he like bottoms out or whatever. And if he does that, he gets 1 year of service time, which gets him 1 year closer to free agency. And I can't imagine any scenario in which he would be doing an extension now. It's a very similar case to what happened with Paul Skenes last year when he got Rookie of the Year. And it's a big thing for the contract, and I cannot imagine that's anything that Mizorowski is going to be in a hurry to do. So, yes, I do believe that the Brewers are going to want to extend him at some point, but now is not that time. And, that price tag continues to go up by the day because his star is just rising. And it was very interesting to see because, like, usually team PR people don't come to media day. It's just a Major League Baseball kind of PR people that work here. But Mike Vassallo of the Brewers, who's their senior member of their PR team, showed up, and it was specifically because Mizorowski was here. So it's cool to see Mike, who I got to know when I covered the Brewers, but his job is very busy right now considering the star that Mizorowski is.
Yeah, and Cespedes Barbecue, I think, pointed it out. Various All-Stars had different degrees of security around them yesterday. Like, you could go up to Ryan O'Hearn. You could go up to David Peterson. I mean, even the Derby guys, Byron Buxton, I got some time with. But Mizorowski, if you wanted to talk to him, you got to be 5 feet away from the podium behind a rope. Like, they were really controlling. Hey, you can, you know, if you want to join the scrum, you can, but you're not getting intimate FaceTime with this dude. We obviously want to make sure that the crowd does not get too insane because, varying range of emotions. You and I going into media day were wondering if anybody was going to pop off about the Mizorowski selection, let alone the contract information you wanted to get to. It seemed like no go. I don't think we got anything inflammatory. The All-Stars were happy to be there. The Phillies folks settled their differences and paid out Christopher Sanchez and what have you. But still, they were very careful about who talked to Mizorowski and how easy it was to do that. I see a bunch of comments. Some of them are mean. One of them's calling Jason Dominguez mid for some reason. But the unifying theme is about the Red Sox and Joe Ryan. And Joe Ryan in general is sort of a hot button. I saw John Heyman talk to Byron Buxton about what if the hometown Braves come calling, how loyal are you going to be? He reaffirmed his loyalty to Minnesota. But I know you talked Joe Ryan trade a little bit yesterday too, and you seem a little bit more skeptical than ever before after talking to people that they trade him at all. Just 47-49. I had you even fact check that record. I was like, we sure they're two games under? They are. They're in it. They're four out of the wild card, something like that, in that cluster. So to the Red Sox fans looking for Joe Ryan to be the missing piece, Boston has surged and seems to be one frontline starter short of being very scary. Although, weird American League, already pretty scary. What are your thoughts on the Joe Ryan trade market and the direction the Twins go?
So in general, I've seen a lot of Joe Ryan trade buzz on Twitter, and it got me wondering exactly how real it was. And I was asking people who would definitely know, and the response was that the Twins have not had any conversations about a Joe Ryan trade at all. And they also have not had any conversations about selling at this point. Like, they want to contend. They are 47-49. And yes, as you said, I had to fact check it too, because you questioned it in front of me, and I was like, yeah, that kind of doesn't seem very right. But they are 47-49, and they are actually in the thick of it. They're within a few games of the wild card spot, and the next couple weeks are going to be pretty telling for them and also just a lot of teams in general. But I had somebody, after I ended up mentioning that in a notebook yesterday, put a screenshot of the easiest schedules going up or going forward, and the Twins were one of the top five teams who had the easiest schedules going forward into the second half of the year. So that is something that has to be on the mind of the Twins front office there. So unless things totally bottom out, my guess is they probably hold firm. That being said, like, even if they do bottom out, I can't envision them moving Joe Ryan. He's too valuable. He's had a great year. He's controllable for a few years now, or for a couple years. So I don't think they're going to be in a hurry to move him. They got some bullpen pieces who I think could be very interesting should they actually decide to sell. But as of this point, they're one of the many teams who are kind of on the fringe, who are just not ready to admit that they're willing to sell at this point.
Doc in the comments saying he thinks the Jays and Bo Sox are going to be busy. I feel like after reading the these teams' trade deadline strategies for the past decade or so now. I think they're both going to make maneuvers, but I think the Blue Jays are going to make larger splashes where you're just like, oh, there go five dudes changing hands. And the Red Sox are going to have a deadline where their fans will claim it was underwhelming at the time, and then ultimately it will turn out they got the right pieces. It just feels like, you know, two moves, maybe not that frontline ace, like a Ryan type, but then, oh, wait, that piece actually makes a lot of sense and they improve the roster.
No, exactly. And I absolutely think you're right, Doc. I think it's going to be a busy deadline for both of those teams. Even the Red Sox, who they traded Devers. They even said on the record, as we have kids running around here screaming.
Beyonce concert out there in Cobb County.
Yeah. Yeah, that's exactly it. And it's but as far as the Red Sox go, they traded Devers. They had Craig Breslow say that they thought they were going to win more games without Devers on the roster. And so far, I mean, that's actually proven to be correct. And we've seen a lot of people recently state that they think that the Red Sox could be a World Series team if they continue to make a move or two. And it would make me think that Aroldis Chapman probably does not get moved if that is indeed the case. And that they end up looking to buy, whether it's in the rotation or adding another bat or getting a first baseman. There's a lot that they can do here, and I expect them to buy. I expect the Blue Jays to buy because, I mean, how could you not? And even Vlad Jr. said yesterday it's a really exciting thing for him, for that team to be able to buy. Because last year, obviously, they were not a position to buy. They were struggling. But this year, they're contending. They're doing very well. And they're going to add pieces around him and build around that core. So that's an exciting deal. And also, Adam, it's very rare that I can do this for you. So this is off script. So I apologize for that. But I want to know what you learned at Media Day yesterday, because I know you were running around like crazy. You were doing your thing, and I want to know like what stood out for you.
Yeah, I had a really fun time of it, and I feel like, look, it's my first one. I'm trying to get comfortable, and you know you have a limited time to speak to these guys. And so you're trying to figure out, okay, the big names, you know, probably not going to happen. And also, how much groundbreaking stuff is Aaron Judge talking about at Media Day, right? Like, is anyone going to get him to be like, I'm actually 5'6"? No. So I'm not going to use my time there. I'm going to try to get FaceTime with the guys who I know are probably going to have slightly less of a crowd. And also, I'm interested in first-time All-Stars. Like, there's a comment here that said, you know, the All-Star game means less to me from obviously a burner with all the dropouts. It doesn't mean less to me, and it means more to me that we have more interesting narratives at the game. Spin zone, obviously. Like, you don't want to see these waves of replacements. But I don't think they're undeserving names who got added. And, you know, I think I'm so glad I got to talk to Zach McKinstry and Casey Mize. And it goes deeper than that. There's six Tigers. I talked to Casey Mize, told him it pretty much felt like a Tigers flight, just a road trip on the way over here. But if there's anybody on his team, like, we didn't even go deep enough. Like, he thinks Spencer Torkelson should be here, and he's right. The roster machinations don't work themselves out all the time. But yeah, I think Spencer Torkelson absolutely deserved to be here. There are people here other than Juan Soto who did not get the call. We could have gone even deeper. So I learned some lessons in terms of behavior. I sat in front of Kyle Tucker for a couple minutes, maybe a minute too long, couldn't get a question and couldn't decide, okay, when do I leave? When do I, you know, should I stay? By the time the AL came out, I started to figure out the pattern. Some FaceTime with those guys, Josh Hader, Byron Buxton, David Peterson, Andrew Abbott was really cool from the Reds. Mm-hmm. Talked to him about the honor, what it meant to him to get into the Reds opening day parade last year, which I'm still not sure why he was the guy in the car, but it was amazing. After his rookie season, he got to, you know, see what baseball means to Cincinnati, see what baseball means to these smaller market teams. And Brendan Donovan stood out as a guy who just has so much Cardinals pride. I asked a whole bunch of players, Mackenzie Gore, Hunter Goodman, what it means to wear their team's jersey in this year's game instead of the warmups tomorrow. And a lot of people gave, you know, cool answers about it's what it looked like when I was a kid. Max Fried said something like that. But Donovan and Zach McKinstry were the two who really said, yeah, this means the world to me, not only because of, you know, the iconic look, but because of what the Cardinals franchise means and what the Detroit Tigers franchise means. And McKinstry talked about how it goes all the way back to Central Michigan with him, and they're one of the oldest franchises in baseball, and he feels the lineage, and Brendan Donovan feels the importance of wearing the birds on the bat in the All-Star game. had a bunch of Cardinals fans in my mentions all last night talking about, you know, Cardinal for life, and this just proves it 100%. And those are the kind of little things you can pick up if you're not maybe stuck in that scrum trying to talk to Ohtani and Judge.
No, exactly. And like, I know so many people who spent their entire time around those guys, and getting those stories is a cool deal. And it reminds you, and it's something you've heard me say on this podcast a lot, and I'll say it again, that these guys are people too. And you can, they all have stories, they all have families, they all have goals, they have dreams, and getting to the All-Star game for the first time actually is like, what a, it's a huge accomplishment for them. It's like a sense of pride, and they should absolutely be celebrated. So I'm right there with you on that. Like, it's never gets old. It's a really cool deal. But I'm also glad that you got to experience it yesterday. And even today, now we're going to be talking a lot of these guys and be on the field. So that'll be fun. But one thing you said that I wanted to pick up on is Spencer Torkelson definitely deserved to be in the All-Star game. Like, he had 21 homers, and I remember, like, at the start of the year, people were writing him off, and it was a lot of questions about whether or not they'd move on from him or if he was even going to be in the majors at this point. But he's had a great start to the year in Detroit. He's been a huge part of their surges to start the season. So I'm right there with you. He deserved it.
Sometimes the best trades are the ones you don't make. And a lot of people wanted the Tigers to sell low on Torkelson and drop him in the offseason and just cut bait on the experiment. He's a huge part of the, you know, the reason why they are at the forefront of that division. I talked to Casey Mize too about, you know, how do you even stay focused when you're like 12, 13, 14 games up? And they've slipped a little bit closer to 500 in recent weeks. Bottom line, it's AJ Hinch for them. Just the fact that he instills, you know, his mantra is to never get too comfortable and to treat every challenge like you are meeting, you know, a new goal rather than this overarching, okay, got to get to the finish line mentality. So I would expect them to, if they don't maintain their pace, at least maintain their edge. And he singled out, look, we saw it last year with us. We were a team with 0.2% chance of making the playoffs in mid-August. So that means that right now, when there's like a 0.2% chance we miss it, still a chance. So I would expect the Tigers to stay focused this year as well. Whether or not they make big additions, they do seem to have that locker room that is built to survive a long season and a postseason. I want to bring another one to your attention that you mentioned in your column yesterday too, this Braves sell-off. Obviously, we are in Atlanta, and Braves fans have faced the reality quite a while ago that this is not going to be a front-running NL East team if they are going to be in the postseason mix. It's going to take a bit of a Tigers-esque miracle, even with all that talent. But what is their current take on players who are controlled beyond 2025?
They are beyond adamant that they're not going to be moving players who are signed beyond 2025. Like, they have firm intentions on contending in 2026 and beyond. So the Braves will not be moving anyone who's controllable beyond this year. So we can take that off the radar. They're not moving Chris Sale. They're not moving Ronald Acuna Jr. They're not moving Sean Murphy. None of those guys are going anywhere right now. So we can put that noise to bed. It was a fair thought considering where they were at. And I thought maybe a team like the Padres could end up making a play for Murphy because they obviously need catching. There's no real legitimate options at this point. I thought maybe Gary Sanchez could be a fit, but he's hurt and he's going to be sidelined for quite a while. But that was just me dot connecting. But the Braves have made it clear that none of those guys are going anywhere. But they have a couple of pieces. Raisel Iglesias, they have Marcell Ozuna, and they have a few others who are on expiring contracts. And July is for sellers, is what I was told. July is for rentals, is what I was told. And I would look at those guys being potential candidates here. But the twist here with Ozuna is that he has 10-5 rights, which allows him the right to veto any potential trade. And I think he's going to be selective with what he ends up doing, but he is open to waiving it for the right opportunity. So I would look at Ozuna being a prime candidate to be moved, but he'll be selective with where he ends up going or where he wants to go if the Braves do indeed actually come to a deal.
Talking about dudes at Media Day yesterday who were swarmed. I mean, again, it's Mizorowski. It's the biggest names. It's, you know, little controversy. I'll add one more to the mix, You see him in the comments, Eugenio Suarez. Everybody wanted to talk to that guy because you can look, there were features to be written. There were fun little quirky games to be played. There was hilarious content going on. A lot of MLB content creators having, you know, players respond to all sorts of funny things. But in terms of you have precious few opportunities where All-Stars might actually get swapped in the coming days. And you definitely have precious few opportunities where that All-Star might net the biggest haul of anyone if the Diamondbacks do decide to make him available. I see Mongo commenting, if the Yankees trade Spencer Jones for Gino Suarez, I'll drink bleach. I don't know if a lot of people are going to be drinking that bleach along with you. That's, you got to give to get, and you might be selling Spencer Jones at his high point. That said, Suarez is a rental, like you noted. I do not think he's Brian Cashman's cup of tea for that reason. But did you get a sense at all of his market, or if you have in the days prior, what are you feeling like the Diamondbacks are thinking with him, with Zach Gallen, their rentals?
The Diamondbacks are going to be very busy, and I don't think they signal that they're going to be selling quite yet. All the teams around the league expect them to ultimately do so. But when they do, Suarez is going to be probably the most coveted guy at the deadline, unless somebody becomes available that nobody expects. But he's a power hitting guy. He's great in the clubhouse. And he can provide an instant bat to a lineup that needs it or just needs an infusion of talent at third base. And I would look at teams like the Yankees, because he was asked about the Yankees plenty yesterday. I would look at the Mariners, and he even said a part of his heart is still in Seattle. The Brewers make a lot of sense there as well. They're like almost every contending team that is in need of a bat is going to probably have interest in this guy, and he'll end up going for a fair amount. I still don't know if it'll be a Spencer Jones type player, because parting with that level of talent for a rental is tough, although we've seen that happen with bullpen guys in the past. So if it happens for a bullpen guy, why can't it happen with an impact bat like Suarez? So he is someone that I definitely expect to be moved if the Diamondbacks do indeed signal to sell. But one note on the Diamondbacks is they still very much want to be competitive next year and then going forward as well. And I don't think they're going to have like this big epic sell-off that we saw like the Marlins have last year, or that the Orioles could potentially have this year. And even Ken Rosenthal noted that they only want to move, if they sell, they want to move one of those starting pitchers, either Gallen or Merrill Kelly. So it could be a limited sell-off there, but they have plenty of pieces. And I'm not kidding you when I say this. Every contending team will call the Diamondbacks looking to see if they'll sell, because if they do, it's going to change the entire market. Because at this point, it's pretty underwhelming, but they could single-handedly change it with just the amount of talent that they have.
Yeah, and Josh Naylor noted in the comments, well, obviously a burner as well, like Merrill Kelly and Gallen and Suarez and Naylor could be four of the biggest names, if not the four biggest names exchanged at this deadline, like the comment said, pending the Alex Bregman, Garrett Crochet, Joe Ryan picture coming to fruition. I think I watched that happen, and I think I know who took it, and I don't think any of you will be surprised because they're stirring up business. Naylor and O'Hearn, probably the two, you know, O'Hearn, another all-star who could be on the move, probably the two biggest first base names that could be exchanged.
Wait, say that again. Sorry, you cut out there for a brief second.
Oh, just Naylor and O'Hearn, probably the two biggest first base names that could be exchanged. And you have to anticipate that both are going to make significant waves.
Yeah, both will definitely get plenty of interest. And Naylor, for sure, he'll get a lot of interest as well. And O'Hearn, he's going to make it as difficult as he can for the Orioles to trade him. And like when I say that, he is going to he's going to perform very well. He is loved in and around that organization. I learned that pretty clearly yesterday, and it's easy to see why. Like, I watched him within a 5-minute span. He was asked to draw the Orioles logo from memory, and then was asked to blow a bubble while being recorded. And it was bizarre. It took him like a minute and a half to start chewing the gum and blow the bubble. It's a great sport about it. And then he got asked a question by a puppet. It was definitely very strange. And that puppet person actually cut off Adam yesterday. So that was not great. That puppet was kind of ridiculous, if I'm being totally real. But he is a great clubhouse guy. He's a great player. He's had a huge year. And there's going to be plenty of teams interested in there. I would look at the Padres. I'd look at the Brewers. I mean, there's so many different people. Like, the Astros can make some sense there as well. So I'm looking at those three teams, but there's surely just going to be a ton of interested teams, and rightfully so for a player of that caliber.
Yeah, Puppet got the last question in on Max Fried, and you know what? That's all right. At the end of the day, we all have to move on. We all learn things. One question I'm going to bring to your attention is because it's been asked a few times. Jose Ramirez waiving his no-trade clause. We've heard for years this will not happen. I just want to confirm from you right now that nothing has changed there, and J-Ram is happy and comfortable in Cleveland.
Yeah, I'd be remarkably stunned if he was moved. So I would get that out of your head. I think the Guardians could do some other interesting things. Stephen Kwan could be an under-the-radar trade candidate. Emmanuel Clase as a reliever, obviously tremendously talented. He'll be asked about plenty with the Guardians kind of falling off here. So there's still plenty of interesting players with the Guardians, but I do not expect Jose Ramirez to be traded. That would be stunning.
Your thoughts, person running in the hallway? Do you have anything to say?
That was tough. That's being on the road for you right there.
Yeah. Hey, look, again, I'm on a phone hotspot right now, draining my battery because the Wi-Fi, you know, it's bad when you connect to the Wi-Fi and it requires a password, but you didn't put the password in. You're like, that's not good. I don't know what I'm on, but here we go. I even got to the hotel last night so late. The Uber situation was an absolute disaster coming out of the battery yesterday. It's probably going to be terrible again today. It took me an hour to get in a car. I had to a Lyft picked up someone who wasn't me and claimed it was me and then changed the destination. And I was like, yeah, because it's not me. And then I got charged for it and refunded.
Oh, geez.
Refunded. I had to chase a guy. My car couldn't move. And he was like, do you want to just come find me? And I was like, whatever. It's already past midnight. Like, I'll do whatever. I got to the hotel. I went to a floor that I don't think had rooms. Couldn't find my room. It was a tough hour, but you know what? This is what we go through. The elevator would come down and it wouldn't be able to pick me up because it'd be full of people and the elevator would say too much weight. Look, I don't want to get into it. The hotel has been lovely, but yeah, I'm on a weird Wi-Fi. This is road life. People running around yelling, but this is why we do what we do, so we can go head to the ballpark later and pick up some more nuggets. RG, we're gonna go to the Yard House tonight. I promise you, we're gonna make that happen. If not we, then at least me. Robert, anything else you want to touch on before I see you in a couple hours?
Actually, yeah. Let's say we do come. We do go to the Yard House. If anyone's watching this and is actually in the Atlanta area, come and join us. Why not? Let's have some fun.
Why not?
Yeah, no, I've got nothing else really in my notebook. Actually, I got one other thing. I've actually heard, and this I've heard from three different people about Foster Griffin and how good he looked with the Giants over in Yomiuri. I butchered that one. but he's pitching fantastic. He's got an ERA under one. And from everything that I've gathered, he's already got teams eyeing him up in Major League Baseball for this coming offseason. So I would definitely look at him to be a name that's going to be mentioned around plenty. And I even had one person call him the most under-the-radar name heading into free agency. So that's one name to definitely keep in the back of your mind.
Appreciate that tip. And again, when Robert says it, it is something to keep an eye on. We've heard it plenty this weekend. Thank you for joining us, everybody, on the Baseball Insider. Stay tuned for our next stream. We will keep you posted. We'll let you know in the Discord as well, but turn on your notifications if you're subscribed here. We'll let you know when we're going live. I can guarantee you we're going live next Monday and Wednesday at 3:30 Eastern and 1:00 Eastern, as well as the Prospect Show on Tuesday at noon. Hoping to have a fun interview for you there. Or if not next week, then the week after. Working on it. Spoke to a futures game participant. I'll leave it at that, and we'll see what we can do for you. And we might even do a Friday show next week as the trade deadline comes closer. I'm going to guess we're probably going to do a Friday show, start picking it up. So no better time to subscribe to the Baseball Insiders and join us than right now. Robert, we got to go and head up to the battery. And, interesting. The comments letting me know the Yankees were 10-plus games over the Sox. Now it's only two. That's weird. Yeah, I knew that. Thank you, though.
Did you know? I was going to say, did you know that, Adam?
Yeah, thanks for the reminder. It's crazy. Same thing happened last year, to be fair. And the Sox ended up further back than that. So it's not over yet in either direction. But, yeah, one team looks better. When Craig Breslow said that thing about how they're going to play better without Devers, do you think he knew that the Red Sox had a Rockies and Nationals upcoming six-game slate in front of them? Do you think he knew that?
I feel like you probably had a good idea. That was the case. Yeah. Then we won the deal, like 3-7 after the trade, and all of a sudden they just played those teams and just went.
They went on a 6-game losing streak, and then they played two pretty bad baseball teams, and then whipped the Rays. And look, the Red Sox are good, but yeah, I think Craig Breslow maybe knew what he was talking about there.
No, for sure, he definitely did. But we'll see if it's sustainable. We'll see if they actually hold course and buy, or if Chapman will be on the move. But as of this point, I don't expect Chapman to be. Moving quite yet, so we'll see. But I am anxious to get to the ballpark to learn more. I also need the shower because, spoiler alert, I stink.
Boom.
So yeah, Adam, I appreciate you. Sean, our lovely producer for the day, we appreciate you. Adam, I'll see you in like an hour.
Yeah. Red Sox, a 10-game winning streak, not sustainable. Contention, sustainable. Sweeping the Rays doesn't count. No, I just said I credit the Boston Red Sox for sweeping the Rays. That was extremely impressive. They also got themselves revved up by playing 6 games against extremely bad baseball teams. What would I do if the Yankees missed the playoffs? I don't know. I would accept reality because they've already blown their whole lead on the playoffs. So I don't think you'll see much freaking out for me. Although if you follow me on Twitter, you probably will see a little bit. Probably not their year, but hey, what if it is? What if they have a transformative trade deadline? We don't know, and we will be back on the podcast over the next couple weeks to try to figure it out. Until the next show, thank you so much for joining us, everybody. We will catch you on the Baseball Insiders.
Save big money right now at Menards. From smoke and carbon monoxide detectors to fire extinguishers and more, Kit of Home Safety products keep your family protected in case of emergencies. Smoke and carbon monoxide detectors are perfect for your living spaces, offering protection and peace of mind. Save big money on all Kit of products at Menards. Plus, check out our weekly flyer on Menards.com for all the great deals happening now. Save big.